fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. You hear him across America. He's out of Mississippi. He's the Director of Issues and Analysis for the American Family Association, his national talk show, Focal Point, on American Family Radio. We know him from his days here in Idaho. Our great friend Brian Fisher joins us now. Brian, good to have you with us here once again at 580 KIDO, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be with you.
I've been perplexed. I've been, well, without words, without thoughts concerning how in the past 5 years, heck, in the past year, we've gone from over 30 states protecting marriage to pretty much none protecting marriage anymore, including the Gem State. Your thoughts from the cultural capital, sir?
Well, this is what we're dealing with here, Kevin, is just judicial tyranny. We have these rogue, renegade, out-of-control judges that are imposing their version of morality on the rest of us. This is from the people who say it's wrong to impose your view of morality on other people. That's exactly what they're doing now virtually on the entire United States of America. You know, this is unconscionable what these judges are doing. It is unconstitutional, and it is un-American. You know, you can read the Constitution front to back, Kevin. You can read it upside down. You can read it right to left. You can read it in Sanskrit, and there is no mention of either homosexuality or marriage in the federal Constitution. You know, you look at Article 1, Section 8, that describes all the powers of action that we the people have given to the federal government, and if it's not on that list, they can't do it. There's no authorization there in Article 1, Section 8 for the federal government to dictate domestic policy, marriage policy to the states. So that means under the Constitution as given to us by the framers, by the founders, that's an issue that is reserved for the states to decide. And the citizens of Idaho decided this at the polls in 2006. 63% of us went to the polls and said, we want to elevate protection for natural marriage to our state constitution. We recognize the importance of this institution, and we're going to give it the maximum possible protection that we can. And a reason for doing it at the time, Kevin, we wanted to remove this from the reach of activist judges, and it looks like when you're dealing with an out-of-control judiciary, nothing, they think nothing is out of their reach.
Well, you know, I was watching Meet the Press, Brian, and good old Ted Olson, Mr. Prop 8 himself, Captain Conservative, said he believed the Supreme Court passed on this is because the 27 federal justices that decided that same-sex marriage was a constitutional right. And, Brian, you've studied these issues. You go very, very deep on this. Was this just a plot by the Supreme Court, the prequel being Windsor and DOMA and Prop 8 last year?
Well, this was cowardly, I think, on the part of the Supreme Court. I think they were dodging this. I think they realized when they nationalized abortion with Roe v. Wade, it did not solve the problem. 41 years later, abortion is as contentious as it was in 1973. I think they understand that if they were to issue a ruling, I mean, this was just kind of passive-aggressive behavior on their part because they're counting on the appeals courts to do their dirty work for them. I think they realized if they came out and nationalized a homosexual marriage, it's not going to solve this issue any more than Roe v. Wade did. You know, and the first three words of our Constitution, Kevin, are not we the judges. The first three words of the Constitution are we the people. You look at Idaho's state constitution, it says, and I quote, all political power is inherent in the people, not in the courts, not in the judges. The Supreme Court is a co-equal branch of government. The judiciary is a co-equal branch of government. It is not the superior branch of government. They seem to think that they are. And by our complicity and capitulation, we have allowed them to get away with imposing their version of what America is supposed to look like on us and taking away you know, our right to govern ourselves. And so they just disenfranchised the hundreds of thousands of Idahoans that went to the polls in good faith in 2006, believing that what they voted on would be respected in the courts, and it hasn't been.
Brian Fisher joining us as we continue on. Are you surprised here in a state that you did so much work in that, you know, here we are, we have the major stations, the channels, getting ready to broadcast live from the Ada County Courthouse, man and woman taking off the marriage ballot, spouse and spouse. No chance given to the opposition of this. The press here has just endorsed it here in Idaho.
Well, you know, it's a disgrace. And like I mentioned at the front of our conversation, Kevin, this is just un-American, and it is unconstitutional, and it is unconscionable to watch what's being done to this culture by these black-robed oligarchs. You know, they're swinging their gavels like sledgehammers and just pulverizing democracy. You know, the point I've made is the federal judiciary has become the place where the Constitution and democracy go to die. You know, and this has been imposed on us by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The one of the attorneys that worked on this case for Idaho and Nevada has now filed a second appeal, and he's arguing, I think convincingly, that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the panel that heard this, was stacked with judges whose rulings on this were absolutely predictable. Stephen Reinhart, this is like the fifth gay rights case that he's been assigned to in the last several years. This is supposed to be done by chance, by lottery. There's no way in the world that the lottery is going to fall to him five times on cases like this. So it looks suspiciously like there was some built-in bias on the part of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And again, that's just not how we design and craft public policy in America.
What do you make of the non-decision from the Supreme Court? Supposedly, you know, our friend Justice Roberts was supposed to look out for us. This was going to be the make good from Obamacare, and they declined the Virginia and those cases on the East Coast.
Well, in essence, it was a ruling. I mean, to not to decide is to decide. Not to act is to act. We know that. So it's very, very thin. It's a fig leaf on their part. This is really a decision on the part of the Supreme Court to nationalize same-sex marriage, because that's going to be the inevitable outcome. You know, and I don't even liken this to Roe v. Wade, Kevin. I liken this to Dred Scott. This is the Supreme Court's. This is the Dred Scott ruling on same-sex marriage, where the Supreme Court has given its approval to an institution which is inherently immoral. Same-sex marriage is inherently immoral. God has defined marriage from the dawn of creation as the union of one man and one woman. What God has defined, what the laws of nature and nature's God have defined, no man and no judge can redefine. So we just need to get back to the Constitution that the founders gave us, and we would be fine. But these judges have so shredded that Constitution with decisions like this that it's almost unrecognizable. And, you know, just like Dred Scott did not settle the slavery issue, this decision to not decide by the Supreme Court is not going to settle the issue of marriage. Because reality is, natural marriage, union of one man and one woman, it is rooted in the laws of nature. It is rooted in the laws of nature's God. It cannot be done away with. You know, what the Supreme Court, I believe, has done is they've kind of driven the ship of state, Idaho ship of state, into the rocks. And the ship of state is going to crash on the rocks long before the word of God and the truth of God is going to crash.
Let's go to Jennifer at 580 KIDO for Brian Fisher. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Great, great. Welcome.
Well, I hear two issues at stake here, and the first I want to address is states' rights, and I hear that hasn't been stated, you know, as a premise, but I understand it's kind of an issue. You know, your guest mentioned that this is something that's decided by the states, and the states voted thus and so and thus and so. A long time ago, there was another issue about human rights that not all the states agreed on, and yet, thank God, slavery was abolished. That wasn't in the Constitution either. Nothing said you couldn't own slaves in the Constitution. And nothing said that minorities could vote either, and yet the federal government decided that they would stand up for human rights.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Brian?
Well, you know, and Jennifer's exactly right. Slavery is an immoral institution. It is forbidden in the Bible. In fact, if you look at Exodus 21:16, the kind of slavery that was practiced in the United States would have brought about the death penalty under the Mosaic Code. To kidnap a man and sell him, that was a death penalty. To be in possession of a man who was kidnapped and sold as a slave, that was a death penalty crime. So she's exactly right. Slavery condemned in the scriptures is contrary to the laws of nature and nature's God. It's an immoral institution. And same-sex marriage is an immoral institution for exactly the same reason. You know, homosexual behavior is not only immoral, it is also unnatural. It is contrary to the laws of nature. That's just a matter of plumbing. Anybody can look at that and recognize that. And it's also very unhealthy. It's risky. It's dangerous. The CDC indicated, they released a study last week that indicates that while less than 2% of the American population consists of homosexuals, they represent 63% of all of the new HIV/AIDS cases in America. So that is,
you know, Brian, I appreciate your response, but it sounds like it's a bit of a red herring, because you're saying I'm exactly right, but I wasn't saying anything about morality. I was talking about states' rights and how the states' rights were overturned by the federal government in favor of human rights and what was right for the majority of the people, regardless of what the states said, supported slavery, and of course later on supported forbidding blacks to vote. The federal government said, no, the states aren't right on this. We must intervene on behalf of what is right for the people.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. The Supreme Court was wrong on Dred Scott, and that precipitated a civil war. They are wrong.
What about
same-sex marriage?
Were they right on slavery? Were they wrong?
They were wrong on Dred Scott, and they're wrong on same-sex marriage.
So you're avoiding my question because you're afraid to answer in the affirmative. So they were right or wrong on slavery?
They were wrong on slavery, and they are wrong on same-sex marriage. I'm agreeing with you. They were wrong on slavery. And I'm adding that they are also wrong. The Supreme Court can be wrong, Jennifer. You're admitting that the Supreme Court can get a major social issue absolutely dead wrong, and I'm saying they've done it again.
I'm saying that our federal government decided to trump states' rights when it came to slavery. Most states, if we're talking about states' rights, most states, or a lot of states, were for slavery, and our federal government, through various means and various legislative branches, said, you know, we're going to trump states' rights because of the rights of people that are being held as slaves.
And you're equating that with gay marriage?
I'm saying there are cases in our own history where...
Well, no, I mean, but are you equating that with gay marriage, Jennifer?
I cannot, of course. You cannot equate any particular situation with a particular situation. What I'm saying...
Then I don't know the point of this conversation. Jennifer, thank you for the call. Brian, let's get back to this point here at 580KIDO, because I have these slappies that I work with here going, hey, what do you have a problem with two people living together? How dare you try and look at the bedroom? So when people come up to people in the hallway or wherever at work and they say, what's your issue? To me, I say, you know, it's traditional marriage. I believe in a man and a woman, and that's how it is. And I can't, you know, go back to 2,000 years of Western civilization and even beyond that, where you had same-sex couples thriving in a civilization.
Well, and, you know, the reality is, Kevin, if those that engage in homosexual behavior, if they were willing to keep their behavior in the closet, they were willing to keep their behavior in the privacy of their own bedrooms, there simply would be no issue here. Nobody has any interest in busting into people's bedrooms and arresting them and locking them up. If they were to keep their behavior private, keep it in the privacy of their own bedrooms, like they, and they try to tell us that's all they care about, there simply would be no issue. The problem here, Kevin, is that the homosexual lobby, and I'm not saying this is true of all homosexuals by any stretch, I'm talking about the homosexual lobby here, the people that press the gay rights agenda, they are not going to be content until they have compelled all of us who believe in natural marriage to agree with them or be punished. You know, we're seeing one instance after another. You think of the baker in Oregon. He's been put out of business because he would not bake a cake for a same-sex wedding ceremony. So, again, there's no live and let live on the part of the homosexual lobby. They want to pretend that they're the tolerant ones, but they are the biggest bullies and intolerant bigots on the block, because they not only want to compel us to agree with them and get society's endorsement for that behavior, they want to punish and silence anybody who disagrees with them.
I would agree with you. Do you expect Governor Otter to do anything else about this?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, this may sound a little radical to people, but I think the solution here, Kevin, is a governor, and Governor Otter could be that if he chose to be. The solution to this is for a governor to stand up to this federal tyranny, stand up to the judiciary and say, no, we are not going to issue same-sex licenses in our state. We do not care what the court rules. I can read the Constitution just like you can. Marriage is not in there. That means this is reserved for the states under the Constitution. I'm going to uphold the oath of office I took to defend the Constitution of the United States and to defend the Constitution of the state of Idaho. The federal government has no authority to dictate marriage policy to the state of Idaho. We have decided this under the 10th Amendment. I'm going to uphold my oath of office to the federal Constitution and the state Constitution. I'm going to honor the will of the people. We are not going to issue marriage licenses, same-sex marriage licenses in the state of Idaho. And what we would realize at that point is how impotent the judiciary ultimately is. They've got no police force they can send out to enforce their orders. Their authority rests right now entirely upon the goodwill of the American people. And because of they've been out of control, because they've gone against the Constitution so often, that trust and that confidence is eroding, and that's a fraying to the point where it's getting ready to snap, and the American people are beginning to lose the respect we've always had for the judiciary.
More coming up with our great friend Brian.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Up all night.
580 KIDO. One of our favorite contributors, favorite guests, Brian Fisher, joining us, the director of issues and analysis for the American Family Association, hosts a daily talk show, Focal Point, on American Family Radio. You know, Brian, it's an emotional argument for people that are proponents of the same-sex marriage. I mean, you and I are calmly talking about this, and it seems like the other side just loses their mind when they're hit with the facts.
Well, and that's the problem, how little rationality there is in this whole argument. We can make many good reasons to support natural marriage. Society needs a relationship in which it has the approval for sexual intimacy. Everybody understands that relationship is natural marriage. There's no scandal at all when somebody finds out that a man has been sleeping with his wife. The only time there's any kind of scandal involved is when somebody's sleeping with somebody that they're not married to. So we know that there's a need for society to sanction a relationship in which sexual intimacy can be approved of, endorsed by everybody. We know that marriage between a man and a woman, children raised by biological parents, is by far the optimal nurturing environment for children. If you place a child in a homosexual household, you are placing them into an environment where they are deliberately depriving them of either a mother or a father. No rational, sane, compassionate society should ever do that. So there are plenty of reasons. We could go on. I've touched on the health issues. Plenty of reasons to think that marriage ought to be reserved for the relationship between a man and a woman. You know, one other issue, Kevin, just that I want to mention. You know, I was a part of the team that drafted the marriage amendment in 2006. You know, the leadership of the Idaho legislature came to several of us and said, look, we are getting so many requests from our constituents. They want marriage protected in our state constitution. They approached us. Will you craft language? Bring to us language. We'll run whatever you want. So I know the hours that we spent crafting the language in Idaho's marriage amendment. Then I know the hours that we spent shepherding that amendment through both the Idaho Senate and the Idaho House. Both houses had to approve the amendment with 67% of the vote. That's a pretty high bar, and we cleared it, 75% in the House, 75% in the Senate. Then we had a campaign to run. Went on the ballot in November, so we spent 8 months preparing literature, meeting with people, speaking, doing interviews on the radio, distributing literature in order to make the case for same-sex marriage. And then the people voted overwhelmingly, 63-37, to elevate protection for natural marriage to the state constitution. So it's just flatly unconstitutional and un-American for some unelected judge to just sweep that aside and disenfranchise all those voters and just dismiss with contempt all of the work that was done to secure the will of the people.
We go to Rebecca in Nampa for Brian Fisher at 580KIDO.
Hi. Back in 1986, I think it was, the Supreme Court, I believe they decided that equal protection clause only applied to the federally guaranteed rights, so like the freedom of religion and the right to keep and bear arms and those things, and that left the states free to deal with any other rights issue. So it kind of seems to me like if they had taken up the issue, they would have had to strike down the lower ruling because of the 86 rulings, and maybe that's why they didn't take it up. But if that's the case, could we maybe go to the Supreme Court and bring that up again.
That's a good point, Rebecca. Of course, they'd have to hear it, Brian.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, that's a decision they would have to make, and I don't think there's much chance that they're going to happen, if that's going to happen. You know, you mentioned in 1986, the Supreme Court upheld a Georgia statute that made homosexual behavior contrary to public policy. So in 1986, they said, yes, the states have the right to decide that homosexual conduct for moral reasons, for public health reasons, is contrary to public policy. Now, they reversed themselves in 2003 with the Lawrence v. Texas decision. But what that clearly demonstrates is the Supreme Court can be wrong. They were either wrong in 1986 when they said that states can make it contrary to public policy, or they were wrong in 2003 when they said that states cannot. So they reversed themselves on an issue of major social importance in just 17 years. So that tells us the Supreme Court is not infallible. The Supreme Court can make mistakes. They were either right in 1986 or they were right in 2003. I contend that they were right in 1986 and wrong in 2003. But the point is they are not infallible on these issues of social importance, and we shouldn't think that they are.
Rebecca, thank you for the call. Ryan, quick question for you. Are churches next?
Yeah, I mean, this is the concern. I read an article in the Washington Times just yesterday. The homosexual lobby is a long way from being done here, and their next effort now is going to be to go after any private organization, whether it is a church, whether it's a religious organization, and say to them, look, same-sex marriage is legal. You're not permitted to establish any kind of hiring or personnel policy that wouldn't take that into account, and we will punish you in one way or another. Likely what they'll do with churches is go after their tax-exempt status. If you're going to be such intolerant, homophobic bigots, we are not going to allow you to function with tax-exempt status. So, yeah, I think churches are now right in the crosshairs, and people need to understand it's never enough with the homosexual lobby. This is just one step. Their crusade is to completely silence and punish all opposition to their agenda.
Brian, if people want to get a hold of you, follow you, what can they do?
Go to AFA.net, AFA.net for American Family Association, and get more information about what we are about. Encourage people to sign up for our action alerts. We communicate with our electronic network 2-3 times a week on issues of importance to people that share our values and give them an opportunity to let decision makers know what they feel about those issues. So AFA.net. And they can listen to me 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time at AFR for American Family Radio, AFR.net.
Brian, we always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Our great friend Brian Fisher with us. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, 580KIDO. Another day, another adventure. Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller here on the Manly Man segment. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Wow, where do you start?
I don't know.
This sandwich is so big, it's hard to even figure out where you start. I mean, you got people in Boise trying to take radioactive material out of items. What the heck are they up to and what are they trying to do? You've got debates last night. Interesting characters in the debates. You have Ebola. More victims of that. You have, what is it, gay marriage certificates being issued today. Everybody all at Twitter about that. Where are you going to start, Kevin?
With Spanky or Panky.
That would be Steve Panky.
Right, the Constitutional Party candidate. By the way, I think it was very sad last night that, you know, you didn't have probably a lot of people at NNU. I think it was great that the TV station put that on. It gave us a break from the gay marriage propaganda. But, you know, I sit back and I watch this thing. I don't know how many people showed up, how many people were watching. And, you know, here you have our three best and brightest. And all they could talk about was, we're going to miss The Voice. Now, I don't think any of the three of them have ever watched it, but they were trying to pander to the crowd, if you will.
You don't think any of them ever watched it, really?
I would say probably not.
Yeah, see, I don't know that the governor would have. Doesn't strike me as his kind of show. A.G. Blukoff, maybe not. Did you notice that they did not ever show the crowd on the TV shots?
Yeah, exactly.
Till afterward, and then they just showed a few people leaving and a couple of the candidates, pro-life and Bujak, who weren't allowed to participate.
Well, that was the big news on social media, that John Bujak was not allowed to be a part of the debate. I remember yesterday, or Monday it seems like, he said that there was no problem, he was good to go. And then wazoo, he says that the television station pulled a fast one on him.
Oh, does he? I'm not sure.
Making a lot of allegations against the television station. So
what were your feelings as, and I'll admit, I did not watch all of it. I watched most of it, but it just exhausted me and I gave up.
Well, if you want to go back and have an official blow-by-blow, I actually missed maybe one question. I not only watched it, Dave Burnett, mm-hmm. I live blogged it.
Oh, my.
From beginning to end, and that is available, you guessed it, at 580kido.com. It's a little convoluted because I kept updating it, so I would put the newest thing to the top, so you have to start from the bottom and kind of read backwards, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And and also at 580kido.com, we have an opinion poll there. Who do you think won the debate last night?
Oh, there's a poll?
There is a poll.
Nice.
There is a poll, and you're going to love this. You can pick between Pankey, Belukoff, Otter, the Sons of Anarchy, or The Voice.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, I was looking at this, and I'm thinking, is this the best that we have? And I timed it out. They actually actually devoted probably over 40 minutes to just education. And I'm going, is that the defining issue? In fact, when they talked to the governor and everybody else about jobs, it went back to the schools and education. And when they talked about the economy, you guessed it, it went back to the schools and education. Now, I'm sure that Steve Pankey, the constitutional guy, is a wonderful man, but he didn't belong on that stage. It was embarrassing. I miss Harley Brown. I miss Walt from Emmett. And by the way, we'll have to make a run at Mr. Pankey. We'll have to try to get the governor and Mr. Belukoff back on. But, you know, it was really unfair. And Mr. Bujak, one way or the other, I would have liked to have seen just Governor Otter, who didn't back down. Mm-hmm. And if I had to pick a winner, again, nobody beats the governor. Whether you like him or not, whether you say he's unpopular or not, nobody beats him. And I think he pulled away from it last night.
Well, I think, in my opinion, as I watched, there were several points that were made that A.J. Belukoff made, and then the governor did get him right back in that he talked about, you know, the four high schools in Boise are some of the best high schools in America. Well, then what do you want to change? I mean, what do you want to change? Yes, I know there's problems in the rural areas, but if you go into the rural areas in Missouri or in Alabama or in New Hampshire, the rural areas always have difficulty keeping teachers. That just goes with the territory. And go back to Little House on the Prairie in Laurel Ingalls. It was tough to get it. I'm telling you, it was tough to get a teacher to come out there.
It's tough to keep her there.
Yes. So, you know, if they're the best in the country, what do you want to change? And then, you know, a couple of other questions, a statement made of all the best teachers have left. Hello? We've got teachers here doing a great job. Why are you bashing them? So that was pointed out, and I don't think there was good answers. So, yeah, it was kind of a one-trick pony, and I felt the questions kind of led all back to that again. So I'm not sure if there was a reason for the questioning going back to education, if it was trying to, you know, keep it on topic of what the, you know, what has been the topic. But there's a lot of stuff going on in Idaho that needs to be discussed more. I mean, education is important, but there's other stuff going on.
Well, and unfortunately, I think the sad part about it here at 580K IDO is, you know, how many people really tuned in to watch that last night. In other states, they have viewing parties and such. I would have liked to have seen that, where you have supporters going back and forth, but it just kind of seemed like a little quaint thing at NNU. And you had, again, the television station with only the television station's people on there. So it was a nice production by them. But on the other hand, I would like to have seen more interaction. And I thought Mark Johnson did an excellent job. I think he was the only one that really hit it out of the park, keeping it focused.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to have seen, and you've done these debates, and I've done them as well. Okay, now, Mr. Belukoff, you have a question for the governor. Governor, you have a question for Mr. Belukoff. And getting back to your point about AJ, you know, when he talks of the Boise schools, there's a
there's a pride that comes through his voice. And you see, the governor played on that, and you pointed this out, where he said, well, why don't you move some of that extra money from Boise to these other schools that need it? And, you know, why don't you spread the magic of Boise everywhere else? So, because, you know, people have Boise envy. And, you know, the governor played on that last night. At least I thought. What about you?
No, I think he did, and I think he played on it well. I think his experience at doing debates, I think the governor's experience in the office, it did shine through. And, you know, here's the problem. When you're an incumbent, you have the name recognition that goes with the territory because people know who you are. But you also have your record that people can point at and throw rocks at, whereas the challengers, they don't have a record. They've never had to balance the state's budget before. And again, as happens with so many politicians, there's a lot of magic money thrown around out there that we should do this and we should do that. Well, who's going to pay for all that?
You bring up a good point that actually was a point of contention between the governor and Mr. Belukoff last night, where the governor says he's got all this magic money. Where's it coming from? And Mr. Belukoff said there's $100 million that could go to education because of lawsuits, this, that, and the other. And he pointed that out on this program, too, where he said instead of putting it in the rainy day fund, as the governor has had, and giving tax breaks to certain folks, that he would use that money to fund education. And did you notice Mr. Belukoff did get a little testy last night? I'm not going to raise taxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is, I think that rainy day fund is important because there's no guarantees for our economy. And if you want to see the economy, if it goes right down the drain, you're going to be glad that rainy day fund is there for education. If it's not, you want to talk about cuts? You'll see cuts.
And my favorite at 580KIDO last night was when they started, when I think, again, it was Mark Johnson, who was the only one that seemed comfortable with himself there. I thought DeSartin always does a good job, but the other two, one seemed to be auditioning Dr. Weatherby for what? I don't know what, you know, for one-liners. But Mark Johnson, you know, asked both candidates about minimum wage, and Mr. Pankey seemed lost. Everything went back to Israel, Idaho, and China is bad, and the Empire State Building, as we talked about off the air.
Yes.
But, you know, none of them could say how they're going to attract higher wage jobs. It all went back to, we have to fix the schools, and once we fix the schools, which, let's face it, 5 to 10 years down the road, then we're going to attract employers that will pay big money.
Well, I had a poll or a campaigner come to my door yesterday.
What was that like?
A gal rode up on her bicycle. Toto was not in the basket, but she did ride up in the bicycle. You think I joke? That's what the bike reminded me of. She came up and had an Iowa State sweatshirt on, campaigning for, and I will say, for the three Democrat candidates in my district. And she said, talking about the fact that, you know, that they're all about education and supporting education. And I said, well, what is their idea?
You think she was from out of state?
No, she was from here.
And she's wearing an Iowa State.
Yeah, no, she was from here. There's no doubt in my mind she was from here. I think I've seen her riding the neighborhood before on that bike.
But scouting around?
Yeah. And she said, well, they want to, you know, give more money to the schools and to the teachers. And I said, well, what will more money do for the teachers to make them better teachers? She said, well, it'll make them feel better about themselves. And that way they, you know, they won't have to worry about their living. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd like some of that too. I'd like a little bit of that too. Thank you very much. But, yeah, it was by the end, and she goes, well, are you a Republican? I said, you know, I don't really consider myself anything because I pretty much hate the donkeys and the elephants.
She was trying to label you.
Yeah. I said, I'm tired of everybody reaching in my pocket wanting more of my money to fix their problems. So it was kind of interesting. And so she left and got back on her bike, and off she went.
Yeah, at 580KIDO. So, you know, we really haven't even talked about Pankey.
No, he was an interesting character. Number one, and I will say this, it shows how difficult it is to do. Anytime you go on mic or on camera, either way, you know, if you're a natural at it, if you're experienced at it, it shows. If you aren't, it shows. And he was extremely nervous, Steve Pankey was last night. And then some of his answers were, I just went, what?
And by the way, I apologize if you're reading the live blog, I for the first couple paragraphs, labeled him as Spanky.
Yeah, it's Panky, Steve Panky.
I corrected myself.
Yeah. By the way, he's got 10% of the vote on winning last night on your poll at 580kido.com.
How's the Sons of Anarchy doing?
10%. They're tied with Steve Panky.
Panky's winning?
No. Oh, no. Butch Otter's winning.
Oh, Butch Otter always wins.
A.J. Belukoff in second. Steve Panky, Sons of Anarchy, and I Miss the Voice. We're all tied. But the voting has just begun online at 580KID. Now, did you tweet that out?
I did. I did that last night.
And were you a good monkey and linked it back on Facebook to it?
Oh, yes. Someone says, do you ever sleep? I go, it's all I have, really. It's all I have.
Okay.
I mean, come on. You have a laptop, TV. What else do you need in life?
I don't know. Maybe the Empire State Building construction project.
It's all about the foundation.
It is. I don't know what that meant. It lost me. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County and to 8 o'clock.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget, you can log on at 580KIDO.com. Who won the governor's debate last night? Let's talk. First, let's take a look at traffic at 580 KIDO. And it's 5:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk to Jim, Alma's husband, with the latest concerning our friend Alma the anti-fracker. Is she still in jail? Did she get bonded out? What's the latest? And does she have some type of big case against the folks in Payette County? And if they can do it to Alma, keep you in jail without bail, can they do it to you? Well, maybe in Russia, maybe in China, but in Idaho? Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.